We continue after break in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Ches. We're about to start Pasuk Chaf. We're to catch everybody back up. Shaul went with his officers to this person who practiced the Ov and Yidoni practices. And he was able to contact Shmuel. And Shmuel gives him very bad news. However, at the end he says that you, at the end of the day, you can still be with me back in Gan Eden. And the Gemara, the Bracha says that a person does an Aveira and is embarrassed from it, his Averas are forgiven, and the proof is from over here. I'm not going to go over all the proofs again. But, so the question that we didn't resolve, that was still left to be resolved, is that what's the Gemara's proof that if a person is ashamed from his Averos, he gets mechila from it? Could be the reason he gets kapara is because he got killed in battle. And let the death be a kapara. So why is Gemara deduced from the fact that he was ashamed to mention that he didn't mention the Urim V'Tumim because he was afraid that he was embarrassed to talk about, and he was ashamed of his aver by killing out Nov? How is that the proof? Maybe the fact he got killed in battle, that's the proof that he was forgiven. So the Musar and Avim answers and says that for all averas that a person does, the truth is, death can be a kapara. Because death is in general a kapara for all averas. But the fact that he killed Nov, so there you cannot say that his death is a kapara. Why? Because the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that murderers do not have a chelek l'olam haba. So Rav Achel Kol Maba, and there obviously that means that death is not a kapara for murder. So therefore, the Gemara has to say that he had to be forgiven over the fact that he was embarrassed over the fact that he had killed Nov, and that embarrassment that he suffered, that is part of a charata of a regret over his sin that he had. And the Rambam as well in Hilchos Tshuva says that when do we say that a person who kills does not get a chelek olam haba? So he dies without doing tshuva. But if he does tshuva from his wickedness, so, and then he dies, then he's about tshuva, and he gets olam haba, because there's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. So in other words, although death can bring a kapara for certain things, but it cannot bring kapara alone for murder, but still in all, if a person does real tshuva on his murder, then the death can bring a kapara. And so that's the proof the Gemara has. The fact that it was murder, and murder, the death would not be a kapara. So how is it that Shmuel is able to say that he's going to be an Olam Haba with him? Must be only because he really did a proper tshuva. And what's that tshuva? Stems from the charata, the regret he had, which is based on the fact that he was embarrassed to mention the fact that he killed out the city of Nov Ir HaKohanim. And that's why, in general, when we have a death penalty through a court, the whole point of the Jewish court is to encourage the murderer to do tshuva before he is killed. So at least that the death that's done through the court will bring a kapara to him. Okay, so that took care of that piece of unfinished business. And now we continue back inside. Now, the next, really, till the end of the Sefer Shmuel, it goes quite quickly because we really covered all the main ground. And now we just have to get through the details of this battle and Shaul's subsequent death. So we're on Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Chaf. So now this is after Shmuel speaks to Shaul through the medium of, through the medium, or it was just in general he spoke to him. Be that as it may, remember, nobody saw according to some, the lady who practiced this practice, she saw the vision of Shmuel, but didn't hear what Shmuel said. Nobody heard what Shmuel said to Shaul, except for Shaul. So now you see in Pasuk Chaf, now that Shmuel's finished, and he leaves him, Vayimaher Shaul, Vayipol Melo Kamaso Arza. So Shaul quickly acts, and he falls, his full body, arts to the ground. Vayira ma'od midivrei Shmuel. He was very much afraid from the words of Shmuel. Gam koach lahayabo. He also didn't have any strength. Why? Kiloach alechem kalayom chalal. He hadn't eaten all day and all night. So because of the tremendous stress and fear and hunger, he literally collapses. And it's interesting. I don't know why over here. But the Musar Nevi'im brings down a very interesting medrash. He says, so after Shmuel leaves, so Avner and Amasa, his officers, say, so what did Shmuel tell you? So the Medrash says that Shaul lied to them. He said, you know what he told me? He said, tomorrow I'm going to go to battle and I'm going to win. And not only am I going to win, but my three sons will be appointed to be great officers. So he took his three sons and he went out to battle. That's what he said to them, which was not the truth. So Rish Lakish comments on that and said, at that time, Hashem called to the ministering angels and said, take a look at this person that I created. The normal way the world is, if a person goes to a party, he doesn't bring his children to a party because he's afraid of Marasayan. You know, I'm afraid of the evil eye. You don't want to bring them. People are going to look at them and something can happen to them. People are usually very careful about their children. This guy's going to battle. He knows they're going to get killed. This is a nevuah. He takes his children with him. And he is rejoicing over the attribute of justice that is about to be hit upon him. In other words, Shaul was makabel. He accepted this judgment with simcha. And he, you know, didn't try to save his children. Remember, there could have been options. If he wanted to, he could have run away and gone into hiding. But he says, no, if the Ratzon Hashem is that we should die, then that we have to do that b'simcha. And this is really, you know, you could say this is, if you're looking in the Tanakh, I don't know, we'd have to think if this is not the first case where a person knows that he's going to die, al kiddush Hashem. Who else knows that they're going to die? You know, this is the first time Mamash being told. All the other times they lost to the police, there never was a nevuah that they're going to lose in battle. See, he's told he's going to lose in battle. So he said, well, maybe there's a way to avoid the din. I'll just run away. I'll hide. But he doesn't. And the Medrash goes out of its way to say that although people are usually protective of their children, but here, if you know that that's the Midas HaDin, so you don't fight the Midas HaDin. There's nothing else to do. You could just get to Olam Haba. That's it. So you go willingly to die al Kiddush Hashem. And that's what Shaul did. So this is probably maybe I could stand corrected, but it seems to be the first source where, biblically, where people are willing to go and die al Kiddush Hashem b'simcha. And that's what the Medrash was obviously saying, it's b'simcha. So again, it is to Shaul's credit. Chaf Aleph. So he's exhausted from this. He falls to the ground. Vatava ha'isha el Shaul. The woman now comes to Shaul. Vatera kinival mahot. She's very confounded. Vatomer love, and she says to him, hine shama shivchascha b'kolecha. Your maidservant has heard your voice. Vasim nafshi b'chapi, and I took my life in my hands. Vashmas tivarecha, and I heard your words. Asher dibarta eloi, which you said to me, probably means rather through me, through my offices of being the Oven Yedoni, and you're able to communicate with Shmuel, and I was able to be able to hear that. Now, the Metzudas David just explained, really the shot is fairly poshut. In other words, the Malbim says, you know, I heard that, you know, I was in danger, and I was afraid of the king, and still I brought a Navi. And the Metzudas David elaborates, gives the best shot in the pasuk. He says, just like somebody takes something in their hand, it's easy that it can fall. If you just open your hand, it falls. And that's the expression of Asim Nafshi B'chapi, I put my life in my hands. So I was willing to, you know, I put my life in danger because I went against the warning of the king who said you shouldn't do any Ov Yidoni practice. And I was asked to do this and I did this and I didn't even know you were Shaul, but I took my life in my hands. I risked my life. So I guess she's saying, you know, listen to me, because I've already proven my worth, that I already risked my life to help you. So listen to the words that I'm about to tell you. And I see that you're all confused and confounded. She wants to help him. So Pasuk HaBeis, Va'ata, and now Shmano, Gam Ata B'Kol Shivchasecha. Listen now also to the voice of your maidservant. V'Simu Fanecha Pas Lechem Ve'Chol. And will place before you bread, and you will eat. V'Bechakoach Yisech L'Bech. But there, so you have the strength to go on the road. So, she's a real Yiddish mama, and, you know, says, you have no strength. How are you gonna go back? I can do whatever you have to do. She should eat. Chav Gimel. Vayom Ein, he refused. Vayomer, lo ochal. I'm not going to eat. Vayif Ritzu, bo avodov. Vigama Isha. So his servants and the woman, wanted to persuade him. They kept pushing him, pressing him, encouraging him. Vayishma kol, and he listens to them. So they were able to persuade him to eat. Vayaka me'aretz, he got up from the ground. Vayesha v'alamita, and he sat on a bed. Chavdalet v'la'isha egel marbeik babayis. And this woman had a fattened up cow in the house. Vatamaher, and she hurried up. Vatisbecheyu, she slaughtered it. Interesting. She shechted it. I guess she knew how to do shechita also. It's quite interesting. It had to be a kosher shechita. Maybe she instructed it, maybe through her instruction, be that as may. It's interesting how the Navi has to go into such detail to say she prepared it. Was it? She hurried, she slaughtered it. Vatikach kemach, and she takes flour, vatolish, and she kneads it, vatofeo matzos, and she bakes matzos. So, why does she have to bake matzos? So, Radak gives a very simple answer. He says, because she had to hurry up and give him the meal quickly. She couldn't wait till the dough would rise, because she saw that he was very not well. He was not well. So he had to feed him quickly. And wait till the challah rises for an hour and a half. The guy's starving to death. He's got to get back to battle. So she worked very quickly to provide him with that which he needed. I mean, it's interesting that the wording is so suggestive, almost of a korban. You know, it was an animal. She shechs the animal. And she's bringing it's like a mincha offering with it. I guess in her way, she felt this was like bringing a korban to Hashem by serving a tzaddik, by serving the king. So you see the reverence she has to show the great respect for Shaul. And so she quickly gets into action and makes him what he needs. Chafeva tagesh lifnei Shaul. She brings this before Shaul, lifnei avodav, and for his servants. Vayochel, they ate. Vayekuma, they got up. Vayelchu balaylahu, and they got up and went on their way back to the camp. Okay.
Does she know what Shmuel said? Was she the one?
No, nobody knew. Remember,
was the one who raised him up.
She raised him up, but she only would see him. She couldn't hear him. That's the way, according to many Mefarshim, this is the way this you don't need practice worked. She can bring him up, and then she can see him, but she can't hear him. And only Shaul can hear him, but can't see him. According to some Pshatim. Other Pshatim say it was just purely Shmuel speaking directly to Shaul, and she didn't know nothing about it. So, be that as may, nobody knew what Shmuel said to Shaul, only Shaul. And based on the Medrash, Shaul is giving a positive report, as much as he should, because he can't dishearten the troops. So he has to put on a brave face that everything's going to be fine. Okay, so that ends that story. Now we have three prakim to go. So Perek of Tes is going to just deal with the fact that now the Plishim are going to get ready to attack the Jews. We have to deal with the fact that David, if you recall, David was the bodyguard of Achish. And Achish, one of the kings of the Plishim, wanted David to go out to battle with him. So there's going to be an obvious problem. How is David going to be in this battle against the Jews? So that's what Perek of Tes deals with. And then we'll see that while David is away, his own city that he was at, Ziklag, gets attacked. So Perek Lamed is going to deal with the fact that David was busy saving his own family. And then finally, Perek Lamed Aleph deals with the actual war with the Plishtim in which Shaul and his children die. So that's how we close out Shmuel Aleph. So today we should easily be able to do the entire Perek of Tes because it's only 11 psukim. So, Pasuk, Perek of Tes, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikvitzu Plishtim es kol machaneim, and the Plishtim gathered all their camps, Afeka, to this place called Afek. Yisrael chonim ba'ayin, and the Jews are camping in a place called Ayin, asher b'Yisrael, which is in a region called Yisrael. So the Malbim explains that the Plishtim are advancing further. In Perek Chavches, it says the Plishtim were gathered in Shunem, and now they've gathered themselves a second time after Shaul has returned from this, from his adventure. And now they are in Afek, which is much closer to the Jewish camp. Pasuk Beis. V'sarne Plishtim ovrim l'meos v'alofim, v'dovid v'anoshav ovrim b'achrona im ochish. And the Plishti governors, the kings, were passing by with the lower officers, the officers of the hundreds, the officers of the thousands. And David and his men were passing at the back with Achish over there. So as we recall, that Achish did not take David to go into the battle to actually fight, but he took David to be his bodyguard. So this is going to obviously present certain problems. The Rabag asks the obvious question. He says, how could David agree to go with Achish to fight against the Jewish people? What's going to happen over here? So he first says, well, David didn't have much of a choice because he does serve under Achish. And he kept on lying to him and saying that, if you recall, he's been attacking the Jews and killing Jews, and always bring back loot and booty from his endeavors. Although really he was killing enemies of the Jews, he was killing Amalekites, etc., etc. So he has to keep up this front. He can't not go, because if he's putting on this front that he's against the Jews, he has to go to battle with them. So he has to go. And then the Ralbag suggests that perhaps David will have a great opportunity to, what do you call it, go against the Plishtim in the middle of the battle. Either he can give bad advice, which won't be so directly obvious that he's going against them, or he can really turn on them right in the middle of the battle. So these are the possibilities that at least make it reasonable why David is going out into battle. However, the Plishtim are not that foolish. Pasuk Gimel. The Malbim makes very beautiful diukim precisely to describe the discussion, the give and take that's going on over here. Gimel. Vayomru sore Plishtim. The officers of the Plishtim speak up and say, Moi Ramela, what are these Jews doing over here? Vayomer Achish el sore Plishtim. And Achish responded to the Plishti officers. Hello, said David, Evan Shaul Melch Yisrael. This is David, the servant of Shaul, who's the king of Israel. Asher hoya iti, who has been with me. Now the next few years are a little difficult. Ze yomim, this guy has been with me for days. O ze shanim, or he's been with me for years. Vol matzasi ba umama, I haven't found anything bad about him. Miyom naflar yom azev, from the time he came to camp with me until now, I see him being a loyal guy. So what's your problems? So, the Malbim notes that who is making the main complaint over here now? Who could have made complaints? Well, you see in the pasuk before that there were sarnei plishtim, there were the governors, like the kings, and then they were the kings over the officers. So who is lodging the complaint over here? So it is not the officer, the kings making the complaint, it's the officers making the complaint. So why is it not the kings complaining, and why is it that the officers are complaining? So the mom explains that the officers were complaining that they did not want David to go to war at all. He is a danger. You got to be out of your mind. What are you bringing this David over here to fight against us? Now, who would have this complaint, really? The officers. Remember, the officers are the ones who are going to battle. Those ones doing the strategy. The kings, they just go out there, they just have lots of bodyguards. It just looks good for them, but they're not really fighting. So now, what would, if it was a complaint from the kings, what would the kings be complaining about? They'd be complaining about the fact that Achish is getting all this covet, that David, who's a very important personality, is his bodyguard. Right? So if the only issue was covet, right, then it would be the kings making this complaint. So, and it wouldn't be the officers. So the fact that it's the officers are saying, "Boy, Ibramel, who are these Jews over here?" So Achish understood what the point of the complaint was. The point of the complaint was, they're a threat, we don't trust him. If it was the king, if the king's saying, "What are these guys doing here?" then Achish would have understood these guys are worried about their covet. But if the officer's complaining over there, the officer are worried that we just don't trust the guy. And that's why Achish's response is not a response to the covet issue, but a response to that he is trustworthy and loyal, and you don't have to worry about this fellow. That's the give and take of the discussion over here.
Doesn't saying David Shalom kind of elevate his covet?
No, but he's saying, but he's Shaul Melech Yisrael, that he's a servant of the Jews. He's an Eved, he's a servant of the Jews, and he's loyal to the Jews.
Oh, it's not like he's his assistant.
No, he's the Eved, he's a servant, he's a Jewish guy over here. So what are these guys, you gotta be crazy to bring them over here. And Achish says, "I don't understand, he's been with me for days and with years." And that's a little bit of a problem. So, because we know he only stayed with Achish 4 months. That's all he was with them the entire time. So the Malbim says you remember that he already had ran away to Achish earlier. That's when he feigned his craziness. That was already years ago. So he's saying, you know, in the last few days or months, I haven't seen any problems. I didn't see problems with him years ago as well. Others suggest, other Mephorshim, I believe the Radak, say that the Yomim is at the time he was with him right now. And the Shana means he's been out in the fields for quite a while before he came to me. And during the whole time, either before he came to me or just out in the fields by himself, I haven't had any problems with him. So I trust him. He's trustworthy. Well, he's not able to persuade them. And Pasuk Dalet, Vayikpitzu alav, sorry, plishim, the officers, plishim, like they kind of jump all over him. Vayomelo, sorry, plishim, and the officers say, Hashemis ish, turn that guy back. Vayashol makom, let him go back to his place. Asherif katasham, which you have appointed him there. Vayered imanu b'melchama, he will not go to battle with us. Vayalonu l'satan b'melchama, he will not be an adversary for us in battle. And now they're going to give reasons why this is only, you got to be out of your mind. And it's going to go on this pasuk and the next pasuk, their argument. He says, "Bamei Yisratza Zel Adonav." And how do you think he can make up to his master, Halo Barosha and Hashemim, if not with the heads of these people? So Malbim explains what's going on over here. And he says, first of all, they weren't only concerned about David, it was also his soldiers as well. I'm sorry, Himelik Peter Rak al David. They were only concerned about David, but not his men, because they said, what did they say? Just said, if you recall, in Pasuk Gimel, they only were mentioning David. Although they say Maha Ivrim, they said, who are these Jews? But in this pasuk, it says the main complaint seems to be return this man. Did they say return his soldiers? No, just return him. That's the main one they were concerned about. They would take other captives to be soldiers for them. But they're saying he can't go down at all. And he says, because number one, they don't figure he's going to fight against Shaul. And even if you want to take him just to be a guardian for the king, that he's there just to protect you, he's going to be an adversary. We can't trust him. And they say, Mimonashach, either way, we can't force him. Because if he's running away from the king because the king banished him and he didn't serve him loyal. In other words, why is David running away? Why is he not with the Jews? That he's not getting along with the king. Obviously. So why is he not getting along with the king? Is it because the king wanted to kill him? Why? Because perhaps he's not a good warrior. He's not loyal. Right? So guess what? What's the best way for him to make up with Shaul and show his loyalty? By coming into battle and now counterattacking us in the middle of battle to help Shaul. That'll be the greatest way for him to fall back into the good graces of Shaul. And if, on the other hand, he really hates Shaul, so Pasuk Hey will show you why, on the other hand, we can't trust him either. Pasuk Hey, Hello, said David Asher Yanalo. This is the same David who all the women were singing his praises, Bam Cholos, when they were singing Lamar. He could show Balof of the Shoal killed 1,000, but David Rivosov, and David killed 10,000. So maybe he ran away from the king. Maybe he's rebelling against the king. If he's rebelling against the king, well, the best way to show his rebellion against the king is to show that he could kill us during battle. So therefore, the officers are give either way you look at it, we can't trust him. If the fact that he's in the doghouse with Shaul, because he just isn't a trustworthy person, and he's been, you know, downgraded, so this is the best way for him to elevate himself, by proving his worth. And if you want to say he totally is a rebel against the king, and wants to topple the king, so the best way to do that is to show that he is the one who can defeat the Plishtim and not Shaul. And he'll defeat us in battle, and Shaul wouldn't be able to do it. So either way, no matter what you're saying, the fact that he is not in his home country, for whatever reason it is, either way, he cannot be trusted, and he will want to kill us. And therefore, we cannot trust him. So Achish does not win the day on this argument, and he now has to break the news to David that he cannot bring him to battle. And the Malbim will explain that he doesn't come out and say it directly, as strongly as the officers does, but he tries to lighten it down a little bit. Pasuk Vav. Vayikra Achish el David. Achish calls over David. Vayomer lavi, he says to him, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem. And to that the Radak mentions that, because they all agreed that even the police, they all agree, you know, the question is, why is he swearing by Hashem? Swear by your idols. The answer is, they all know that Hashem is the cause, is the root of all things, and is the God of all gods. And certainly, he wants to make an oath to David, so he has to make an oath to David, who, in what David believes in. So he says, I swear by Hashem's name, ki yashar ato, that I believe you're a straight guy, v'tov be'inai, tseis chovo'echa, and your goings and comings is good in my eyes, and you should really come, iti b'machane, you should come with me to the camp. Kilo matzasi b'chara miyom bo'acha elai ad yom hazeh. I didn't find anything bad by you from the day I met you. However, now look what he says now. Look how he changes. Uvenei hasranim lo tovata. But in the eyes of the governors, it's not good. You're not good. So he switched. It was the officers who made the complaint, and he now says it's the governors who are upset. So the Malbim explains that he didn't want to reveal the real truth. And he didn't want to say that they don't trust you, that you're not loyal, because that would have been a big insult to David. But rather he just said their main complaint is from the kings. And the kings are complaining because they're not getting it. They feel that I'm taking too much covet by making you to be my personal bodyguard. Right? So it's really, they're not distrustful of you about war, but they're just jealous. And, but I believe that you're fine. Everything you do is fine. But they're makbid. I'm happy to get this covet for you, and they're makbid that they don't want you to have that covet. However, and therefore he says in Pasuk Zion, and just to prove that they're not, that's the thing. So you alone go in peace, and your soldiers can stay here. And don't do anything bad in the eyes of the governing, the governors of the Plishtim. Right? So they don't want you to be here. So that's how he presents it, to not insult David. However, David is not foolish. And he understands exactly what's going on over here. He understands that they don't trust him. And certainly David understands it better than them. because he knows what he wants to do. So now he comes off, you know, very hurt and very insulted. Pasuk Ches. Vayomer David al Achish. David says to Achish, Ki ma asisi? Uma matzasav avtecha? Miyom asher yisi lefanecha di yom hazeh? What have I done? What did you find from your servant from the day that I came before you until this day? Haven't I come and fought against the enemies of the king? Remember, all this time he was there for the 4 months, he kept saying how he's going to the end, to the Jews and killing them and bringing back loot, etc., etc. So David understood that this wasn't a covet issue, a jealousy issue, but they don't trust him at all. They don't want to go to battle at all. And the truth is, David was very happy because this now gets him out of this predicament. Because really, he probably didn't want to go to battle. But, and if he does, it's going to be a very tricky situation for him. So now he's really out of this. But here's the problem. They're willing to have, they want David to leave, but they want his men to stay. It's going to make it more difficult for the men to stay without any guidance from David. So he has to now try to get a way to get the men out of here as well. So you're telling me it's a covet issue. So David could have said, okay, it's a covet issue, I'm going to leave. But that's not good. He doesn't want to leave his men without him. So therefore, he says, no, it's not a covet issue. I know it is. You guys don't trust me. You don't trust my men. So now he's bringing that all in, and now he's going to have to kind of agree to that. And why should we go to battle? We've done everything for you all the time. So why can't we fight? So now he's brought it to that point. So Achish says, okay, Pasuk Tes. Vayan Achish, Yachish responds, Vayomer el David, he says to David, Yadati ki tov ata b'nei. I know you're good. In my eyes, you're like an angel of God. You're trustworthy like everything. Now he says the truth. Now look again. But the officers of the plishtim said that you can't come with us. You can't go to battle with us. So now he admits that the problem is from the officers and not because of the governors. And they don't want you to go to battle at all. And now if to do that, in order not to embarrass David, what's going to happen is they all have to leave. If David goes by himself, it's kind of singling out David that, you know, we don't trust him. But if you're going to send them, if not to lower the shame to David in particular, now he's going to have to let them all leave at the same time. So that's what he's saying. What can I do? They don't agree. I think you're trustworthy, but they don't agree. So now what should we do? Pasuk Yud. So now get up early in the morning before anybody else gets up to mitigate the shame. And you get up, and also the servants of your master that came with you. Vishkamtem baboker, get up early in the morning for orlochem v'lechem, there'll be light for you, and you will go. And therefore, if you get so he kind of says a little different. The mom, he says, you know, if David would have gone himself, maybe it wouldn't be so noticeable. But they're all going to go; it is going to be shameful. And therefore, if it's shameful to leave like that, so go early in the morning. No one's going to see what's going on. Very early in the morning, you'll go, and you won't feel any embarrassment, and just leave. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ayashkem David, Hu Vanoshev Alechas Baboker Lashuv Aleretz Plishtim. So David and his men get up early in the morning to return to the land of the Plishtim. Who Plishtim Olu Yisrael. And then the Plishtim got up later, and they went to the area of Yisrael, which is where the Jewish people were. So this parak effectively shows, you know, answers the question, where was David during this critical battle that the Jewish people lose to? So you see the logistics of how he gets out. And shortly we'll see why, you know, how this is the Yad Hashem in all here.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't understand the logic. If they didn't trust him, I can understand that, so they sent him away. Why wouldn't they send him off away from the front so he can't do anything to
That's what they did.
But he sent him back to the Jews.
No, to the Plishtim. El Eretz Plishtim. The land of Plishtim. Back to Tziglag. He was in Tziglag.
But Israel was in camp. It says here...
No.
Israel was in camp by the spring as in Israel. So it's not...
No, the Plishtim now went to attack the Jews. Who Plishtim all of Israel. In other words, they sent David back to the land of the Plishtim. The Plishtim were not in their land. They left their land. They're already in Israel. Right?
Okay,
so now David was with them and says, we don't want him over here. Send him back to where we are. Okay, we're not going to kill him. We have suspicions. You trust him. I mean, there is a political conflict over here. So they say, listen, just send him back to Tziglag. We don't want him anywhere near the front. Go back home. And we're going to continue our battle. And now they go to Yisrael because that's where the Jews are camped.
That's what I mean. They didn't send him to the Jewish camp.
No, they sent him back to the land of the Plishtim. Send him back to the land of the Plishtim. Get him out of here. Okay. Pasuk Aleph. Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. Vahi bevo David vanoshev Tziglag v'yom ha-shlishi. So now David and his men come back to Tziglag on the third day. But what happened in their absence? Vamoleki poshtu el Negev el Tziglag v'yaku es Tziglag v'yisrusu v'eish. The Amalekim, those Amalekim were smarting from all the attacks that David did against them. So now that they see that David and his men all left to join the battle of the Plishtim against the Jews, so now it's their chance to take revenge. So the Plishtim spread out in the south, and specifically against Siglag, and they hit Siglag, and they burn it up. They destroy the city. Pasuk Beis. And they captured the wives from the young to the old. They didn't kill anybody, and they led them away and went on their way. They took them as captives. Now, interesting. Here's where the Malbim points out over here. He says, this was Mamish Hashkochas Hashem over here. This was divine supervision over here. Because now what's happening? David has to now be busy trying to save his family. And what is he not able to do? He's not able to help the Jewish people. In other words, the Jews are going to get a terrible blow over here. It's not possible that David would just sit by on the sidelines and watch the Jewish people get annihilated by the Plishtim. Even if the Plishtim would have sent him back to Tziglag, there's no way when he starts hearing the Jews are getting killed that he would just sit back and let that happen. So Hashem has to coordinate events in a way that David, it's not possible for him to be involved. Now, again, David has no reason to suspect that the Jews would lose this battle necessarily. David isn't privy to the prophecy that Shmuel said to Shaul. And, you know, and until now, Shaul had always won every battle against the Plishtim. If he had to go to battle, he'd help, whatever. So, but now that he goes back to Tziglag and he sees that his family and there, all the families have been captured, well, now he has to deal with a much more pressing issue over here. That's why he cannot help them. That's the Hashkachas Hashem. Now, the Musar and Avim adds one more point to this. Very interestingly, why is it that it's the Amaleki specifically, and he will be fighting against Amalekim? So he says it's also part of the Hashkacha Pratis. Why? Because what was one of the main prosecutions against Shaul is that he did not wipe out Amalek. So since he did not wipe out Amalek, it'll be Dafka Amalek that will be keeping David busy so that David, who could help Shaul, will not be able to help Shaul. You understand? Now, of course, you know, you're seeing from all this, I think we mentioned this once before, but it bears repeating. I mean, it's not possible that when Shaul left Agag, Agag was the last Plishti alive on the planet, because there's no way in the period of a couple years that Agag alone could have spawned such a large army that could attack David, right? So there obviously were many other Amalekim around, but I would imagine, I'm speculating, that if Shaul would have wiped out all the Amalekim in round one, then he would have been given more rounds of fighting with the Amalekim and killed them all out. But he didn't. And since he didn't kill out the first one, so Hashem's figuring, why should he even give more battles with the Amalekim? We'll leave for someone who's going to be better. David HaMelech will be better at that. So it's kind of symbolic that you left a Plishti behind. You didn't fulfill your mission of wiping out all the Amalekim, rather. So when you're going to be fighting a critical battle and you would have needed David to help you out, so he won't be able to. Why? Because the very Amalekim that you did not kill are the ones that are keeping him busy. So also, interesting, again, how you see that all of Shaul's mistake causes death, because clearly, besides the fact that he allowed the Amalekim to live, he chased David out of the country. And clearly, there's no way if David would have remained as a loyal officer to Shaul, there's no way he would have lost that battle that he fought against the Plishtim. So his undoing is, it's like on both counts. He throws David out, so David can't be there to help him. And even if David would have wanted to help him, he can't, because the Amalekim are tying him up and keeping him busy. So it's all mita keneged mita. Clearly, the divine hand is not allowing this to happen for him.
Ziklag is, that's a Philistine city, right?
It's in that area, yeah.
But like he left his wives and
he
went with the Philistines when he went to the front.
Right, or we'll call Philistine dominated area, even though there may have been Jewish land, but it was dominated area.
Yeah.
And that he went there to be protected away that Shaul wouldn't chase him there. So he's in Siglag, and now look what happened. So pasuk dalid. Vayisa David va'am asher itas kolam vayivko. David and the people with him, they raised their voice and cried. Until they had no more strength to cry. This was a very emotional moment for them. And after it talks about their crying, now the pasuk adds, pasuk hey, ushtei neshei David nishbu, and also the two wives of David were captured. Achinoam ha-Yisraelis, Achinoam, and Vavigail, Eshes Novel ha-Karmeli, and Avigail, the wife of Novel the Carmeli, from Carmel. And the Malbim says, after they cried first, then the pasuk describes David in his bitachon and his arousal for the spirit to grab him. And he says that even though his two wives were captured, he still was able to do what he's going to do in the next pasuk, which means to get his spirit back over there. Now it's interesting, we should just mention, that we see, again, Avigail is called the Ashes Novel HaKarmeli, and the Chazal say that, Avigail's great merit was that she was a wonderful wife to Novel. I was mixing up with something else. Forget it. Strike that. I was mixing that up with something else. Okay, let's go ahead. Pasuk Vav. Vateitzel Adavimot, and David was very pained what's going on. Now look what he gets now. Ki Amram, because the people with him said what? L'sakla, to stone him. Ki Mara Nevesh Kalam, because the people were all bitter hearted. Albanav over their children, but also their daughters. V'yischazek David b'Hashem, and David strengthened himself with his bitachon Hashem Elokav, his God. So what do you see? Remember, David took this whole ragtag team of losers, and he makes an infantry out of them, and he finds some place to live and all this and that, and now he makes his first strategic mistake, right? But what was the mistake? He left them all, he left the wives and kids alone without anybody there. He should have left somebody there, didn't leave anybody there. So, again, a mistake probably it was, so they blame him to the point they want to kill him. So you're the leader, how forgiving are they? What he did for them? Make one mistake, want to kill you. That's their response. Right? So again, why did David make a mistake? Because that's all part of Hashem's plan. Hashem's plan is that David should not be able to help Shaul. So obviously he had to make some kind of mistake by leaving them behind, by not leaving anybody behind, enabling them to be captured, and now David and his men have to be involved in, for the balance of this parak, he's just going to discuss the battle of how David and his men are able to get back their wives and kids. So David, notwithstanding all this pressure, it's his family's taken away. He certainly has his own personal pressure. The people want to kill him. It's even additional pressure. But for Yischazek David, but he strengthens himself. He says, now we have to go out to battle. And we'll see how he does this tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem.